All right, well, let's do some questions.
Questions for Matthew.
Questions for Matthew. My name is Matthew, and I'm going to answer your questions.
And my name is Chris, and I'm going to read some questions.
This is Ask Matthew Anything, I do declare.
Well, Purple OJ says, I know Brawl in the Family is over, but can you still create more songs like the History of Nintendo or One Final Song?
I really like Purple OJ's accent. I think it's very charming.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Those songs were the hardest part of Brawl in the Family. I might. We have some potential plans for maybe doing something at some time. I guess that's all.
Very specific, Matthew. Yeah, thank you for that specific. Elucidating response.
Yeah. Hopefully that cleared everything up.
Christopher Wang asks, do you have a favorite racing game besides Mario Kart?
Christopher Wang has a much more British voice than I expected. Favorite race...
I'm reading him like I see him.
Reading him like you see him, okay. Favorite racing game besides Mario Kart? Yeah, actually, I think I would have to... There's really two. There's two racing games that I really like. They're kind of neck and neck. One is Kirby Air Ride on the GameCube, which is incredibly fun. It has a really good multiplayer. There's several things in Kirby Air Ride that inspired... a lot of Smash Brothers' later innovations, actually. And Kirby Air Ride invented achievements, which I'm always going to say, because nobody gives credit where credit's due. They always give it to the Xbox. Kirby Air Ride invented achievements, and it had top mode, and it had city mode, and it had the other mode, the Air Ride mode, and really great music. It was a great game. The other one is F-Zero's GX, which is just super hard, but extremely fast. It looks great still today. Kind of makes me miss the series. I feel like it was a great game to kind of go out on for the series, but it makes me want another one. So those two games, really good. Diddy Kong Racing, I guess, would be a third place finish.
Cyber Brickmaster 1986 asks, do you plan on bringing Tadpole Trouble to the Nintendo Switch?
Maybe. I haven't ruled it out yet. We'd need a Switch development kit first, and it kind of depends on how feasible it is to get one of those. They're fairly expensive. I wouldn't want to pay for a dev kit just for porting Tadpole Trouble. But if we could get our hands on one, I definitely would weigh the possibilities of that.
Some random account asks, this is something weird!
Some random account, I told you not to ask us anything weird, and yet you've gone and done it.
The thing is, this person has said this is something weird, but he's not asked a weird question.
Oh, that's true. I said nothing weird, though. Nothing weird, guys. Come on. But yeah, technically, that's not a question.
But he does say, JK, if you could have a Pokemon in real life, assuming it wouldn't kill you / destroy the world or whatever, what would it be?
You know, I thought I'd go with my favorite Pokemon, Scyther, but he wouldn't be very useful, you know, if I'm not using him to attack people.
Mowing the lawn?
I guess. He'd be okay
Edge trimming?
It would probably look weird. He's got those huge scythes. The lawn would look all chunky.
Meat slicing? Veggie slicing?
Veggie slicing, maybe? What would be a good, useful Pokemon? I would want something to work for me. Cleaning the house. Cleaning stuff. So I would go with something water type, but not too powerful. So Wartortle. Yeah, let's go with Wartortle. Strong enough to clean a house, not enough to blow up my house with a water cannon.
Person McPerson asks, what do you expect for Kirby's 25th anniversary?
Well, I'd love to see a Switch game, actually. I think that'd be kind of neat to pull, you know, Kirby back to the console scene. I know he started on handhelds, but yeah, the last console Kirby game we got was... And technically, we got Rainbow Curse, but last Kirby platformer was back on the Wii, so it'd be neat to see just a brand new, really nice-looking Kirby platformer. Maybe a 3D one. We want to get crazy here. Maybe it's time for Kirby to get into 3D, so yeah, that'd be cool.
Giga Purple Cheese Man asks, nice! Not only did I get my question answered, but another question resulted in more advice on getting started with Unity.
Oh, alright.
Question for next time. Do you use the Amiiverse stage in Smash Brothers to pull stuff occasionally or ever? I usually post BRTF jokes and stuff when I play as Kirby DDD Meta Knight there.
Oh, oui, oui. I do use the Amiibo stage every now and then. It's you know, I played on that stage. I don't know if I told this story, but I played on that stage when it first came out, and a bunch of F-words showed up, and I was playing, like, in front of my family and stuff. So it was really awkward. Like, I had to quickly end the match and go to another level. So hopefully that wasn't you, but it sounds like you posted a bunch of Brawl in the Family jokes. So that sounds cool. It sounds like there were relatively few F-words with that kind of posting. So
wait, have you ever read Brawl in the Family?
Have I ever read Brawl in the Family? Yeah, it's pretty profane. So yeah, I posted a few things with the person I won with. It's fun seeing stuff, you know, just come up on the Miiverse stage. It's a fun stage. As long as you don't have your kids around.
Blue Fire Mario asks, so what would you think the meaning of life is?
Oh man. Okay. This is a pretty heavy question there. Alright, I will take it an attempt at this. I think you know, we wanna make each other. I think we're here kind of as a solid human unit, you know, to affect each other in nice ways, to live our lives for each other, basically. Sounds a little hippy drippy when I put it that way, but you know, I don't think it's necessarily about the pursuit of the self so much as finding your place in the universe. Yeah, there we go. I don't know. Hopefully that was okay.
Yeah, good answer. Good answer. Although, in response to that, Cam Wii U gave the correct answer, which is it's 42.
Oh, okay. Well, that too. For you Hitchhiker fans out there.
8LayerDip asks, hey, Matthew, I was wondering which video game / series you're into right now.
Man, make me want some 8LayerDip with your name. Like, you get to that first layer, there's like the tomatoes at the top and then the cheese and then the sour cream and then the... I think there's more tomatoes at a certain point. There's like chives. Chives? Are chives onions, or are they...
No, they're different. They might be... I don't even think they're related, actually, but they do taste like green onions, but a little more mild, you know?
Yeah. So to answer your question, I do like 8LayerDip. Oh, wait, hang on. there was something about... Oh, what series? Series I'm into right now. Yeah, the past year or two, I've been playing a lot of Dragon Quest. So all the Dragon Quest stuff, I've been kind of just going a little crazy with it. I got a Dragon Quest art book. I got this plush slime. I got the recently got the remake of 4, which is a game I loved as a kid. So yeah, I've been playing a lot of Dragon Quest lately, and I'm getting hyped for Zelda again because it's that, you know, time of the century where a new Zelda game comes out. So I'm all about the big quests right now.
Dapper Cody asks, hey Matthew, first time question asker, long time fan. Are you a fan of any sports teams?
You know, the older I get, the more I start to like sports a little bit, which is kind of funny. I'm not really a football fan. My brother is huge. Like, in fact, everyone down here in Louisiana, like all my family is really into LSU and the New Orleans Saints. I kind of like the Astros, actually. I like, I've been to a couple other games, a couple baseball games, and I like watching hockey in general. I don't really have a particular team that I root for. I just think hockey is fun to watch. I think boxing is fun to watch. And I like playing, you know, like casually playing like tennis whenever I'm on vacation or whatever. Not very good at it.
Blake Worsham asks, Matthew, you mentioned in a recent podcast that you did not like Fire Emblem Fates. I would like to know why you didn't enjoy the game, because I'm thinking about getting it myself.
It's not really that I disliked it. I guess it had a much smaller impact on me than Awakening did. It uses Awakening's engine, so I think a lot of the elements didn't quite feel as fresh to me. If you like, you know, the Fire Emblem gameplay and stuff and the characters and things, it still has strong characterization. It still has strong gameplay. I think the supports, they didn't quite resonate with me as much as Awakening's did. Now, that said, I did just play through Birthright. I didn't play through Conquest, which is actually the more popular of the games. And the third one, you know, Revelations, which you should kind of play after both, from what I hear. I don't really want to deter you from getting it, though, because it's you know, if you're looking for a strong Fire Emblem game, I think there's plenty of stuff to like here. I think just personally, I needed a little bit more of a break from the series before jumping into another three games, I suppose.
Spencer Ray asks, what was the inspiration behind Irio? I must know.
Oh man, he does sound very dramatic about that. Mm-hmm. The Irio. Okay, so Irio, I think I was talking to my brother one day about somebody going along, like Mario just making a mess in the Mushroom Kingdom, if you consider the stuff he goes, like he never really comes across like used up blocks so much. Everything's all fresh and new when he gets there, you know, and he just starts bling, 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 you know, just making a big mess everywhere. I thought, you know, someone's got to come by and clean that up or something. Or like, you never get to the level after the hero's been through it. So I thought that was kind of a fun concept, and I think Irio sort of came out of that. And it was sort of a combination between that idea and just playing on the whole, like, M is upside down for Wario, you know, what if you turn it to the side and make it an E? And, you know, who would that be? That'd be Irio. He'd be a weird brother, you know? So we kind of combine, I combine those two ideas into one, and that's pretty much where Irio came from.
What about three Rio, I guess you'd say? If you turn the
other way? If you're talking about the other way? Yeah. There'd be like a... I think we considered that, like... No, actually, what I did was I drew Vuigi, and Vuigi was like how the L was upside down. Like, you turn the L, like, slightly crooked, it looks kind of like a V. I don't know... Yeah, I didn't think about turning the M the other way, because then you get... Yeah, I guess you get, like, three-rio or something. So, I don't know. I guess there's always that potential if I ever want to make more comics about that.
Micah Burgess asks, Matthew, if you were a playable character in Super Smash Brothers, what would your moveset be? Show me your moves!
Yes! Okay, if I was a playable character in Smash, I would have a drawing move. It would basically be like, I'd have a big pencil, right? That'd be my weapon, and I would summon creatures of my own creation out of midair, like the ugly thing. Like, I'd sketch it up, and then it would, like, charge the enemy. Or I'd sketch up Bunsen, and I could hop on him, like, and charge the enemy. I guess everything charges the enemy. And I would have a move where I throw a Game Boy at some... Not throw a Game Boy. Some sort of video game move. You know, there'd be a video game move. There'd be a move with music. Like, maybe I'll throw music notes. And there'd be a drawing move. Because those are kind of like a bunch of things that I like. So, yeah. I'd be kind of a summoner, you know? Like a summon. I would summon stuff with my pencil. Doom. It'd be cool.
That Fancy Melon asks, so I've been wondering, where did you get the idea of the pause menu song when making Tadpole Trouble?
The pause menu song, let's see. I don't know how we thought of this. I think when you're making a game, you could kind of just do whatever. Like, you could say, hey, let's put this in the game, and they could just put it in. So I think I was just kind of brainstorming with my brother about something happening whenever you pause the game, like something randomly coming up. Because we always liked those secret things in games that, you know, that you would talk on the playground after, like that not everyone would see. You know, like, hey, did you see this? If you go over here, this might happen, kind of stuff. And we thought that that doesn't really happen much in games anymore. So we want to have kind of a secret thing that happens when you pause the game, like, 5% of the time. And I think once we thought of that, we thought a good thing would be just different music, like a crazy version of the pause theme. So we came up with the pause menu song, which I thought was kind of a fun idea, just a song about the usefulness of the pause key and what you might pause the game for. And yeah, and we put it in. We said, we want to put it in the game, so we put it in.
Draco Blackstone asks, are the hover texts for the comics gone for good, or will they eventually come back? And I'll take this one.
Chris, where are our hover texts?
They're there. If there's some that are missing, you send me an email. I'll fix it at 58hens@brawlinthefamily.com. They were gone for a few months because there was like a technical issue that I had to transition all the comics over to a new system to help. They're better organized and they work better with the new site. And then I had to go through and manually put in all the hover decks again. So they should work. So if they don't, send me an email and I'll fix whichever ones aren't working. Purple Yoshi's in the Sky asks, if you had to drive one species to extinction, Which one would you choose?
Man, this is, he sounds like he's got his finger on the button there. Like, he's about to make my wish come true. In which case, I would have to say mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are terrible. I hate mosquitoes. They are worthless. They do nothing. They spread disease. They're just awful. They contribute nothing to anything. They're a parasite. I hate mosquitoes. I would absolutely eliminate mosquitoes if I had the power and the ability. No questions asked. No questions. Extinction. Goodbye.
Yeah, there's some scientific studies that have shown that if all mosquitoes were eliminated, the ecosystems of the world would pretty much adapt just fine. The things that eat mosquitoes can eat other things. There's no real creature that derives like all of its nutrition from mosquitoes that wouldn't be able to eat anything else, you know? So it's actually a quest of some researchers to find ways to eliminate all mosquitoes, which I would certainly welcome.
Yeah. Kill them all. Kill them.
Shulker Ninja asks, are you an Undertale fan?
I get a lot of questions about Undertale. One of these days, I'm going to play Undertale, you guys. Just one of these days. Actually, probably whenever they bring it out on a Nintendo system. But I guess I could play it on Steam. I do have a Steam account. Sorry. Yeah, one day I'm going to play Undertale. Just not yet, I guess. I get a lot of recommendations of that because apparently there's similarities to Earthbound.
NZ17 asks, question for the next AMA. After having run several successful Kickstarter projects, what are some valuable lessons you have learned which you would apply to a future Kickstarter project if you ran one?
Kickstarter, it's the brand new sensation that's sweeping the nation. I would say limit your physical rewards. That's my number one piece of advice. Number two piece of advice is very related to that. For your physical rewards, make sure you estimate the shipping costs correctly, because those two things are going to be a huge part of where your Kickstarter money goes. So, if you could do digital rewards for most of the tiers, definitely do it. If you have to do some physical rewards, just make sure, you know, you take into account the international shipping. That's a big cost. And the local shipping, which you're covering. For instance, if this tier requires you to send a bauble across the country and you're charging $10 for it, keep in mind that the cost of the bauble is going to factor in. Plus, it's going to probably cost you about $3 to $5 to ship it based on its size and weight and everything. So keep those in mind, because those costs are coming directly from the Kickstarter campaign itself. And otherwise, yeah, just going with a good plan, going with hopefully a built-in fan base, and you should do fine. Just keep those costs in mind.
Panheim asks, since the presentation, what were both of your favorite or least favorite things? My favorite was the return to sandbox games Nintendo seems to be investing their time in, which makes you extremely happy. As for least favorite, maybe the fact that voice chat's only available on the smartphone app. The same as using WhatsApp or something.
Yeah, it's a pretty good answer. Mario and Zelda were really like the greatest parts of the show for me. Those were both exciting. Very exciting. Least favorite? Yeah, I might have to go with the current looks of the online plan right now. I'm not really thrilled about the smartphone thing. Or the paid thing I can kind of get behind depending on how they're doing it. But as for right now, it was kind of a letdown to hear about it.
Yeah, I largely agree. One thing that I am excited about is the potential for the Switch to consolidate the lines of their production lines. So by that, I mean the 3DS will phase away and the Switch will be the only Nintendo console. Because I think by transitioning all the development efforts into one bucket, you'll just get more games, better games. It could have a great library as a result.
Yeah. More variety. And
I'm excited about the console's innovation itself. It just remains to be seen how the games will use, you know, the controllers and the capabilities in the best way possible. Definitely the weakest element is the online system, and I really hope that they offer something worth the money, but, you know, that remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, and obviously the games, like Mario and Zelda.
Yeah.
Hard to compete with that for the best aspects. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Jesse Boucher asks, question, If you had an opportunity to make a game based on a Nintendo property, which one would you like to approach? Adeline? Star Tropics? Irio?
Those are all very fine suggestions. I like the addition of Star Tropics in there too, because that's always been kind of a fan favorite game of mine when I was a kid. I might say Star Tropics, actually, just because nobody's done it. So it's not like, you know, something like Punch Out where it's been brought back really well, and I would have to like live up to that. But like a new Star Tropics would be kind of cool. I would say either that, or I always thought a Wario and Waluigi game would be a lot of fun. Pretty much just like the way I did that comic in the last year of Brawl in the Family's Run, where they're kind of going through and infesting like other Nintendo games. I think a game of Wario and Waluigi doing that with like Daisy kind of as a side player would be a lot of fun. So either that or a new Star Tropics.
Deep Ditch Attack asks, do you regret making Waluigi Time?
I know there are some people that hate whenever like their creations become kind of this meme thing. But no, I don't regret it. I like it. I like that people have latched onto that characterization of Waluigi. I think some people enjoy Waluigi more now because of that. So I think that's good. You know, I think it's kind of an extreme version of the character, but it seems like it kind of fits him to me, you know? Like, I could picture him going around doing this stuff just in his daily life, because that's the kind of guy he is, and it kind of endears me to him. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with that, actually.
Bloxer Studios asks, not sure if you answered this, but what exactly is LG? He just pops up, and then boom, he's gone. What's up with that? Does he have, like, some big, complicated story? Is he a radio or something?
Elegy is, well, I this is kind of a Tadpole Trouble spoiler again, but yeah, it's pretty much an autopilot that's gone rogue, similar to you know, Hal from Space Odyssey 2001. Yeah, that's basically it. The you know, the plane has crashed and it's making a big mess on the island, so I wanted there to be a mechanical element to the last level of Tadpole Trouble, since the whole game you're dealing with nature. Thought it'd be a good way to deal with the final boss.
Harry Hariyama asks, wow, that ending was a bit whack-a-ding-hoy.
Wait, are you doing like a Hank?
Yeah.
That ending was a bit whack-a-ding. That almost sounds like Professor Frink. A whack-a-ding-hoy.
Wow, that ending was a bit whack-a-ding-hoy. Anyway, one thing I've always wondered is, why does one of the piranhas in Piranha Jungle look kind of goofy compared to the others?
That was Harry Hariyama. And the answer is because staccato. Yeah, the piranhas in Piranha Jungle, we wanted there to be, you know, they're kind of a mob of enemies. So we wanted there to be kind of a face of it, like one that sort of stands out. So it has a little bit more character. We ended up making like the fat one the leader, because we figured, you know, he's the one that gets the most food. So he's got to be the, I guess, the quickest and or most powerful. So he's kind of goofy looking. I think we had someone else animate him too. So he definitely sticks out a little bit.
Xander Lenoir asks, here is one of my burning questions. If Nintendo gave you the legal rights to use any amiibo in Tadpole Trouble, what cool amiibo things would you want to add to the game? Also, if Nintendo made a legal baton amiibo, what features would a baton amiibo add to different games?
Oh, amiibo functionality, huh? Okay. My favorite amiibo functionality is the kind of stuff that adds like a little bit to a game, but not like too much to where you feel like you have to go buy it. So I really liked Yoshi's Woolly World's use of amiibo, where you can have Yoshi look like all these different characters, but it wasn't something like fully necessary, but it was like a fun side thing where you could have the colors and everything. So it might be cool if there was like different costumes and stuff you could put for Baton, and she made like different sound effects depending on which character you had. You know, if you had like Ness and you jumped in the air, you could like PK Thunder. You know, you could have like the sound effects from Smash Brothers or something. He's got like a baseball cap or whatever. That'd be kind of fun. And for amiibo functionality, I would say maybe Oh, you know what else would work? There's a preset song in each amiibo. Like for Mario, it has the Mario theme. When you scan it, it loads that song into composition mode, so you can play through a level of that song that's been written specifically for that amiibo. So for Baton Amiibo, I think it'd be cool if in... Oh, shoot, what could she do in different games? It'd have to be underwater, I guess. Maybe you could... In Smash Brothers, it would, like, summon the Baton Assist Trophy. And you break the Assist Trophy, and then the lines go across the screen, and all the notes come by going, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and you gotta dodge the notes, and Baton's dodging the notes, and there's, like, food, and if you grab the food, it heals you. So that'd be kind of neat, like an Assist Trophy. Yeah, I think I would do that.
Boa Ferrex asks, sorry if this was answered somewhere else, but I don't remember ever hearing your thoughts on Kirby Planet Robobot. With Kirby being such a big part of the old comic, I would assume it's a series you still keep up with and play most of the games that are released.
Yeah, I did actually play through Planet Robobot. I enjoyed it. I ranked it as one of my top games of the year, actually. I ranked it as one of the top games of the year, actually, in our recent podcast. All in all, I thought it was a good take on Kirby. It had a nice new sort of gameplay mechanic. I liked using the big robot. I liked using the ESP power a lot. I thought that was a lot of fun. And the levels were creative, and, you know, the visuals and the music were good. I really didn't really have any complaints, except that just a case of timing, I suppose, because it feels like it's been kind of soon after Triple Deluxe and, you know, before that Return to Dreamland. It'd be nice if I think they were a little more spaced out just to keep them a little fresher. But otherwise, I thought it was all around a solid platformer. One of the best that you'll get on the 3DS, I think.
Blue Slime Slib asks, what time did you want us to skip to avoid spoilers for Tadpole Trouble? Nothing popped up for me. Well, I think I put a thing in there for that. I'll go double check that. Sorry.
Sorry, Blue Slime.
Yeah. Here's another question. Out of the three following choices, what would you choose? Would you rather be able to find anything lost, be able to open anything locked, or be able to speak and understand any language?
I feel like the second one would get me in trouble. The first and third are pretty handy. I lose a lot of stuff. But I can't say no to being, like, multilingual in every language. That sounds good. I'm actually learning Spanish right now, very slowly, on my telephone, but it'd be nice to have the fast pass to be able to speak any language. So I'm gonna go with that, especially when it comes to, like, being able to import games and stuff. Exciting.
The Joe Dean asks, before you ended Brawl in the Family, you had a nice last comic about the relationship between Jigglypuff and Kirby. Did you consider doing the same with Captain Falcon and Samus? I personally love Cap and Samus, and I love seeing their comics and would have loved for one more. Did you have any ideas for Cap and Samus comics that you didn't make?
Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed the Captain Falcon and Samus comics. I think, let's see, when I was wrapping it up, I was trying to think of just any other loose ends. I don't think I had a full comic planned for them. What I did do, though, was kind of near the end of the series, during the final arc, you see them actually together. I think they're holding hands. Near the very end, which kind of was my way of saying, you know, things are still going well between these two. There's not really, like, an end point in mind or anything, but they're still doing well within the Brawl in the Family universe. So I think you can see that when Master Hand is addressing all of the cast members in, I think, comic 599 or 598. So that was kind of my way of acknowledging that sort of story arc.
Kirby Killer asks, how hard was it to make the lyrics and notes stay in sync with the songs that had them, and were there any old designs for Thunder Creek, my favorite song?
Oh man, that was one of the hardest parts of the entire game, was just getting everything to line up. Eventually, we wrote a program for it. The very first versions of the game had my brother going in and manually moving all the notes, which was just extremely tedious. It worked better when we had a program going for it, but since I'm, you know, human and didn't actually write the songs via MIDI, where they were all already perfect, we still did have to do some adjustments for each of the songs to get them to line up with the way I played them. Thunder Creek went through a few versions. I think the entire second verse was new. For a while, it was just the first verse and then the very last one. And the instrumental part was added later. I think an earlier version of the song was a little bit more dynamic. We had like skullfish singing and stuff, I think was an early idea, but we ended up simplifying it a little bit. But we did make it longer with the extra verse and everything. I'm trying to think if there are any other changes we made to Thunder Creek specifically. It's one of the first songs I actually wrote for the game. I wanted there to be a big exciting Western thing. So it didn't go through a whole lot of changes besides making it longer.
Eyebrow Studios asks, "Hey there, question one. Who would you say you take inspiration from when writing music? I know you base Snowfall Lake's music off of the style of Grant Kirkhope, but do you find any of your songs similar to those of another composer you look up to? Question two. What is your thought process for writing music? What notation software and sound set do you use for your songs? Question three. Would you agree that Disney's The Hunchback of Notre Dame is a good movie? Why or why not?"
All right, for question one, I actually have a problem with sometimes a song being too similar to one of my favorite composers, and I'll realize, oh, I've subconsciously, you know, channeled this bit of notation. I'll have to go in and change it. It kind of varies from a song-to-song basis. Sometimes I'll hear a song that I really like, and I'll think, you know, I want to write something similar in style to this. So I guess some of my favorite composers besides Grant Kirkhope would be like Koji Kondo. I like a lot of the Uematsu stuff on the SNES in particular. As far as Tadpole Trouble goes, Chiptune Lagoon was inspired by Mega Man. What else we got? The Level 2, Trout Tributary, is inspired by Magnificent Seven. And we got any others that... I was listening to a lot of Incan and Andean music for a while for some of the levels near the end there and kind of in the middle. Like, especially level 8. There's a variety of influences. For the second question, I used Adobe Audition with my dad's keyboard. He had a bunch of different great sound samples on it, so I was able to record a bunch of different stuff on that. Right now, I'm using kind of a combination of that and the program Logic Pro, which is a synthesizer kind of program where you can put in songs in MIDI. And what this lets me do is it lets me adjust them a lot more accurately, to where the timing is a lot easier to adjust. And I'm still trying to make it to where they still feel natural and feel like a live performance, which is a big challenge. And for the third question, I think Hunchback is great, actually. I think it's in my top 5 of the Disney canon. I once ranked the entire Disney canon. I think its soundtrack in particular is really, really good. And it's got a lot of deeper themes that the movie doesn't really shy away from. So I like it a lot.
Where would you rank it if it didn't have the gargoyles?
but Jason Alexander, man, he's great. He's great. He goes, "The one in the dress ain't bad either." Right? Because he likes the goat. I would rank it 52 if it didn't have the gargoyles.
What?
The gargoyles make the movie.
You disappoint me, Matthew.
No, I wouldn't rank it that low, but its ranking wouldn't change. I think the gargoyles are fine. The only thing that doesn't make sense with the gargoyles is that they're supposed to be in Quasimodo's head, right? But near the end, they're like dropping the catapult on the guards and stuff.
Yeah.
Works for me, you know. And they're like sending the pigeons after them and stuff. It's like, what's going on here? Is Quasimodo doing this? Like, he's all the way across town, like helping out Phoebus, and these gargoyles are like fighting off the guards in Notre Dame. Like, what's happening here?
Well, that's why I always took the gargoyles as being real.
Okay, so maybe they're real. So whatever, they can be real. It's all right. Esmeralda's got a goat that has an earring. That's pretty extreme. You say gargoyles can't be real in Disney universe?
I don't know who you're convincing, Matthew.
Next question.
Well, there's only one left. Zandrax of Nebulon asks, "Hey, Matthew and Chris, I enjoyed Tadpole Trouble up until the final boss. Elegy was so obtuse, I had to look up how to beat it on YouTube. Couldn't even get past the first stage of the boss. I feel like the dialogue of the room up was supposed to give me hints, but it kept interrupting itself and are cutting out entirely. Also, another refrain might have been meant to feel fun and triumphant, but it just felt like an insult to the player after the rest of the boss being so obtusely designed. What with the rest of the game being so freaking incredible, I was really surprised slash disappointed that this slipped through the cracks. I played it on Wii U, so hopefully it gets patched there soon.
Zentrax! Zenzer! I'm glad you liked our game. It's hard making a game sometimes, man. There's like, you don't even know, there's just all sorts of crazy things going on. So you know, we did our best. We did our best. Sorry you had to go look it up on YouTube. But, there's only so much I could do with a budget of 34,000 on the Kickstarter and putting it on the Wii U. So something had to give. So we made our final boss extra tough. Extra tough final boss, extra obtuse. So I don't know what to tell you, man. Sorry he made you mad. Sorry it made you mad.
So far, we've been able to answer almost every question in every AMA so far. Eventually, if we keep getting more and more of them, we might have to cut it down to like the top 15 questions or something, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's good. It's good that more people are asking questions, though.
Yeah. Post all of your new questions for Matthew on this video, and we'll get back to you next time.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for the questions, as usual. So I'm Matthew.
And I'm Chris.
And this has been Ask Matthew Anything, but nothing weird, guys. Come on. Pretty good. Show us your bum. Pretty good. Sure as you're born. You know that? How do you do? Da 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 da. How do you do? Da 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 da. How do you do? Da 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 da.
Pretty good. Show us your bum.
You know, and Michael kept singing, "Pretty good. Show us your bum." As sure as you're born. And then our programmer Philip like showed us something with the game. He's like, "Look, okay, so now you can hit the symbol and blah blah blah." And he goes, "Well, that's pretty good, Philip. But did you show us your bum?" Because he said pretty good.